Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Nettie Stevens joins us. She's second vice president of Young Democrats of America, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season two of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. Building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Nettie Stevens. She is second vice president of Young Democrats of America. Pleasure to have you here.
Happy to be here. Thank you so much.
So let's start out with, first of all, who are the Young Democrats of America?
So Young Democrats are Democrats under the age of 36, and so it's essentially a federation of different chartered units in different states and territories. We recently chartered about 48 of them, and so Young Democrats who have assembled, who are doing amazing work on the ground, and so we're looking to support them, and it's a national organization of young folks. It's actually, the largest partisan organization and one of the longest running, having been started in 1932.
All right, so you're saying doing great work on the ground, for example.
I'm mobilizing their communities. I know they're great examples. I often use Texas and Arkansas as good examples. Arkansas especially, given what's been going on, they've been doing a lot of great work with respect to evictions and preventing them. They've helped to prevent about 1,500 evictions across the state by knocking on doors and helping folks to fill out the letter with respect to the moratorium from the CDC, and so they're doing a lot of great work in that respect. As well as Texas, I think in 2018, they had actually ran about 350 Young Democrats across the state for elected office, being able to represent their communities and making sure that the youth perspective is represented as well.
Did they have much success in that?
Quite a few of them got elected. But I know that with respect to Democratic politics, it's really important to make sure that there's someone on the ballot to be able to put forth that message. And so that's really also important part of it.
One of the things that's kind of surprising, and I guess it shouldn't be, is, you know, we tend to live in a mass media age where it may not be traditional places, but Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, you know, are ways that people get their information, but but also television, radio, newspapers, et cetera. And yet, here in Nevada, there are a lot of people who are not aware of the help that they can get in this eviction process, and they have not filled out the paperwork. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminds me of a discussion I had with Todd Story a couple of years ago from the ACLU, who said that 10% of the population of Nevada does not have ID. And that just kind of stunned me that number was so great. What is the disconnect, do you think, between the information and help that is available and the inability to get it to the people who need it?
I think that there are definitely quite a few different barriers to access. I mean, one could be broadband, making sure we have broadband across the state, especially in more rural areas. One could be, definitely just like the language barrier in terms of being able to provide that information in different languages, whether Spanish, Tagalog, or what have you. Additionally, I mean, there are different barriers with respect to intergenerational and how we just communicate among generations. Making sure that the importance as well as the information is being conveyed is definitely very key. I know through the Young Democrats, I mean, we try to provide information through various mediums, and especially as young folks who are, I'm a millennial, but definitely the Gen Zs are a lot better than that than I am. But definitely being able to communicate that information via Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so on and so forth, to have that in different mediums to help to sort of bridge that gap.
Do you think it's kind of ironic that now we have more ways to communicate than ever, and yet there's still a big chunk of the population that's being left behind?
I think it is, and I think that is definitely something that we need to continue working on, continue working together as to how best to use these tools and use these mediums that we have now to be able to communicate and make sure that information is being conveyed to those who need it most.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre that, 50 years ago you had 3 television networks and everybody watched them. They only had, in the beginning, a 15-minute newscast and a half-an-hour newscast, but the whole country sat down at 5:30, 6 o'clock or whatever, mm-hmm. and watched that together. So they all got the information at the same time. It's kind of bizarre that we've lost that. Let me ask you this on a personal basis. In the last election cycle, were you a Bernie supporter or a Biden supporter?
I actually worked for Elizabeth Warren before up until the primary.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And what was it about Elizabeth Warren and her campaign that excited you?
I think for me, I'm definitely kind of plan oriented. I mean, when she said that I have a plan, I mean, I think I was pretty hooked in that respect. My background is actually in STEM, and so like for me, if you can go from point A to point B and explain how we're going to do that, I mean, that's something I gravitate toward. Not that Biden or Bernie don't do that necessarily, but I think for me, I think the way that she conveyed that message really resonated with me personally.
You know, it's kind of funny because if you go back 25, 30 years to when Jan Jones, who's now with Corporate Caesars, she's mm-hmm. on the board there, but a longtime employee there, and then prior to that was mayor of Las Vegas. She ran for governor, and in fact, Susie Lee, who's a congresswoman in CD3, wrote a lot of her position papers back in the 90s for Jan Jones. And I read a lot of them, and they were terrific. But I've joked since then that it was me, Jan's mom, and Susie were probably the only ones that actually read those papers. So there's an irony that if you have a great written plan, that it's actually quite hard to get that out and make it a campaign issue. Do you see the same thing?
I definitely think so. I think that for, especially as we're young Democrats are looking to have conversations around issues that matter to us, like whether it's climate change or whether it's environmental justice, social justice, racial justice, so on and so forth, it's definitely important for us to be able to very concisely convey that messaging and have those conversations with folks. I think that sometimes those of us who are very, very kind of connected within political spheres, we kind of talk about are just kind of like inside baseball to us, but making sure that we're recognizing that not everybody has that background or is coming from that perspective. And so it's important to make sure that we are reaching people where they are and really having those more detailed and more personalized conversations.
Does it frustrate you that in the end, and obviously if you're a STEM person, you understand getting from A to B, but does it frustrate you that in a campaign, what it really boils down to is what's in the 30-second message?
It definitely can be. I mean, definitely for me, I mean, I was the Northern Nevada Regional Political Director, and so for me, having those conversations, what my work looked like was being able to take those plans and kind of make them more kind of bite-sized, for lack of a better term. And so it can be frustrating at times, but at the same time, it's really important to make sure that we're keeping in mind that like not everybody is as deeply involved in politics, and making sure that it's really important to identify areas for commonality and being able to have conversations based on those.
When you look at history, it seems like we're going through a period that is similar, not the same, but similar to what this country went through in the 60s and early 70s. Does it strike you the same way with just so much social change going on in so many different directions at once?
Yes, it definitely does. And these are conversations, especially when I talk to to other activists in the black community with respect to civil rights, for example. Whether it's the different sit-ins and the different marches, it has been, it's almost this feeling of like we're almost back there, but also recognizing that there's progress has been made, but there's definitely a lot more work to do.
Always. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with Nettie Stevens after this timeout.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Nettie Stevens. She's the second vice president of Young Democrats of America. You said you were supporting Elizabeth Warren during the campaign. What was your next affiliation when Elizabeth Warren was out of it? Did you lean towards Bernie or did you lean towards Joe Biden?
I actually lean towards Joe Biden, and it's
why. I don't mean that rudely, but I mean, what was it that made that decision for you? Because obviously, you had a big difference between, you know, somebody who was really pushing a far left agenda and somebody who was pushing a centrist, you know, almost old fashioned Democratic agenda.
And I think for me, I'll kind of push back on that a little bit because, like, Joe Biden, I mean, he's definitely, with respect to people who have actually gotten elected, fairly progressive agenda, I mean, compared to even Barack Obama or Bill Clinton. So I think that there's definitely some progress that has been made, and I really did appreciate the efforts that he took to incorporate plans, whether from Elizabeth Warren or from Mayor or now Secretary Buttigieg, Secretary Buttigieg. So I think that for me, it was definitely like being able to bring those coalitions together was important to me. I know that, I mean, Elizabeth Warren was definitely my first choice, and I recognize, I mean, we don't always get our first choice in politics, but for me, it was kind of looking to who to support next. I mean, coalition building is just so important to what we do, and being able to put forth being able to implement progressive change, and so I definitely wanted to support somebody who recognized the importance of building this coalition so we can get things done.
All right, so when you look at the political spectrum, do you look at the extremes of the parties as being where the work gets done, or do you look at the center as being the coalition that is needed to get things done?
I think it depends on the issue. There are certain issues where whether it's like how we come together for a tax structure or whether it's kind of like the more administrative like parts of government, like we're definitely like things are decided in the middle. But I think that it's definitely important for us to keep in mind that for people who are living on the margins of society, whether they are Black, Latinx, AAPI, part of the disability community, so on and so forth. A lot of times those compromises are the compromises of their rights and their right to exist. And so I think that for those issues specifically, we need to be moving further left on those issues, like to make sure we're incorporating more folks into the fold.
Okay, what do you mean? Do you mean right to exist literally as in living or dying?
Sometimes it is, with respect to whether it's like your right to as an LGBTQ plus person not get evicted for being that, making sure that those discrimination laws or anti-discrimination laws are in place, whether it's disability rights, and especially the conversation that we're having around COVID and folks being able to access healthcare given some of the overcrowding that's happening right now. I mean, there's definitely some issues where it is a matter of life and death. And so I think that in those specific instances, we need to make sure that we're centering the voices and perspectives of marginalized folks.
Big bill went through the House. As we're taping this on the morning of August 25th for playback later. The New York Times reporting the House passed the $3.5 trillion budget plan, the plan for vast expansion of the safety net. How do you feel about that? Not with any Republican support.
I recognize that there is a want to have bipartisan support, and I definitely know where that comes from. I also recognize that there are definitely investments that we need to be making in our communities and in the social safety net. And while it's regrettable that Republicans don't agree with that, I think that it's important for us to keep moving forward and keep pushing for these reforms to improve people's quality of life.
So when you look at something like this, and obviously, you know, the House is trying to move towards a reconciliation bill, and so therefore they won't need Republican support to get this done. I remember interviewing Senator Reid a couple of years ago now, and we were talking about the national debt. And he said at that time, we have gone past the tipping point for us to recover from the size of the debt, and yet now we're adding trillions more in debt. A lot of times, older people like me talk about this money being paid for by younger people like you and your kids eventually. How do you feel about this? Because, you know, we are just putting trillions and trillions of dollars of spending into the national debt. Does this concern you? Does it bother you? Or do you think that it's appropriate?
I think for me, and I kind of go to one of the things Elizabeth Warren had said on the campaign trail, and that budgets are statements of value. They're important with respect to how what are things that you prioritize and what are things that you want to spend money on. I think that for me, I'm currently a taxpayer. Nice. Most millennials are, and so I mean spending tax dollars and making sure that there is whether there is family leave and making sure that social safety net is there. I think those are things that are really, really important to folks like myself. And so, I personally don't mind spending money on the things that will make sure that our communities are stronger and that we're able to work together.
All right, so you made an important point there that A, you are a taxpayer, and that B, you support your taxes going towards these different things. One of the promotions of the leading folks in the Democratic Party is that the rich are going to pay for this. And I put forth the thought that the rich don't pay for anything. And the reason is that they have accountants. And they are able to move their money around, so they are able to pay the minimum amount of taxes possible legally. Mm-hmm. And that's how our system works. If you do it legally, it's fine. The poor can't pay taxes because they don't have any money. So in truth, that money that's going to be paid for by you and I. And so, you know, are you comfortable with that? And do you agree that that's the reality?
I think that with our current tax structure, I mean, there definitely needs to be improvements to make sure that isn't a matter of like hiring the right accountant or hiring the right attorney to get out of that tax burden. I think it's also important when we talk about values. I mean, we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can for the sake of our country and for the sake of our communities. And so I definitely want to implore those who have a little bit more to do so as well.
We've seen that plan before, which is, you know, just because you're not getting taxed, if you want to donate money to the Treasury, you can send the money back. There's actually a level of frustration. I think it was Jan Jones was on the program when we were in Las Vegas, if I'm not mistaken, who said that she got that tax, or not tax money, but the money from the federal government, the $1,200. And she wanted to send it back because she's a multimillionaire. She has no need for that money. And couldn't find a place to send it back. So, I mean, there's an irony there that even the people who have the money who want to send it back, you know, are kind of in a situation where they can't. Let's take another break. We'll come back and more issues for you. Nettie Stevens right after this timeout.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Nettie Stevens. She's the second vice president of Young Democrats of America. One of the things that has become stunningly obvious with COVID, and it's been around for years, it's not something new, but I just don't think that we were aware of it as much and talking about it unless we were involved in it, which is childcare. And yes. What are your thoughts on whose responsibility it is to take care of childcare in this country? Is it the responsibility of the parents? Is it the responsibility, and I hope not, of the school system because they're already burdened enough? Is it state and local government, business? Whose responsibility do you think it is? Because obviously it doesn't make any sense if somebody's making $17 an hour to be paying $15 an hour for childcare.
And absolutely, I mean, that's a great question. I think that it is definitely important for us to make sure we're doing everything we can just as a community, as a society, that we're providing that affordable childcare. I mean, especially given kind of how our society has shifted and making sure that we're empowering women and non-binary individuals and to take jobs and to really further their career, there's also the consideration of kind of like who within the household like has that responsibility. I think that's definitely shared with respect to the adults and the parents in the household, but if they're in a situation where, I mean, again, to what you said, if they're making $17 an hour and childcare is $15 an hour, then I think that at that point, then yes, the government and society kind of stepping in to help making sure that that social safety net is there. Because at the end of the day, I mean, we want to make sure that we're empowering families to be able to put a roof over their head and put food on the table, but also making sure that children are taken care of in the process is incredibly important.
Yeah, because I mean, from the time that we took the system and put women into the workforce in a major league way, we didn't really consider this. And in fact, I think over time, what ended up happening was that the wage that was earned by a single person in a household ended up being the same wage that was earned by two people in the household. And so, you know, childcare was just not thought of at that point in time. But then you also had a different family situation. You had, you know, grandparents and others who were potentially available to take care of childcare. That no longer exists because both parents have to work, and in some cases, two jobs each.
Exactly. And I think that with respect to whether or not we were thinking about it, kind of like who was going to take care of the children, I think it was just more of an assumption that, like, oh, if women are going to go off into the workforce and they're going to be that working mom, they're going to have to do both jobs and juggle things. I mean, even when we talk about a parental leave, like, we just said that term in and of itself, like, we normally oftentimes are talking about maternity leave, but don't often include paternity leave into that equation. So even our language has shifted, but our assumptions of who is responsible for making sure that childcare is available has shifted as well.
So as you look, we've got about a minute left here, as you look towards the next election cycle, because every day is another day towards the next election cycle, all parties are spending money already over a year ahead of the election. Where do you see the next election going when traditionally the party that's in power loses in the midterms?
I think it's definitely the tradition, but I think that people are seeing the work the Democrats are doing. I mean, from the federal level with respect to the American Rescue Plan, with respect to all the different interventions that have been passed since Biden took office, as well as, I mean, all the way down to the local level with respect to how the state legislature is appropriating money for these different programs, as well as how city councils are also trying to weather some of the municipal level. And so I think that going into 2022, I think the voters are going to recognize the Democrats are doing the work, are committed to governing, are looking to incorporate as many good ideas as we possibly can, and I think that will definitely be rewarded in 2022.
And that's where we have to leave for today. Please come back.
Absolutely.
Love to have you on some of our panels. We'd really appreciate that.
I'd love to, absolutely.
All right, and we'll be right back. Nicely done, young lady. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers, on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.